Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, with both your problems have at their base, or the answering of both your problems has the same difficulty, insofar as that we cannot but pose such problems in terms of the bifurcation of consciousness as a subject and object, if you see what I mean. So that, for instance, your second question, how do two subjects interrelate, already implies two separate subjects. Yeah. But I suppose the problem is that if I can just step back and try to approach it from a more philosophical point of view, if what we're saying is that reality transcends our bifurcation in terms of a subject and object, how on earth are we to talk about it? So we've got two choices. We can either talk about it. Well, we've got three choices. We can either talk about it in a complex dialectic between subject and object, trying to sort of talk about what lies beyond subject and object by putting subject and object into a sort of a dialectical interplay with each other. Or we can reduce everything to the object. That's what materialism does, scientific materialism does. A scientistic materialism, perhaps better. It says that actually there is only object, and that subject is simply an epiphenomenon of object. In other words, it's just a sort of side effect of object. What Yogacara says is, no, let's go the other way. Let's think of everything simply in terms of a term that we derive from the subjective pole of experience. In other words, in terms of mind or experience. So it's trying to say that what is not to be understood finally in terms of subject and object. Subject and object are simply the convenient distinctions that we make which help us to get through our lives. But they are indispensable to our thought. They're built into our thought. They are, I suppose, kind of Kantian transcendentals. They're built into the way we think and experience. So if we're to try to ask questions about our experience, we've got to use those terms. But if what we're doing is questioning those terms, we get into all sorts of paradoxes and difficulties. Do you see what I mean? So what I'm in a way saying is that in reducing everything to experience only, and saying that neither subject nor object exist as independent entities, we will, of course, come up against imponderables. We will not be able to answer them because we're trying to work counterintuitive. So, I'm not convincing you, I can see, and I'm not surprised. the question of how two subjects interrelate comes from an idea of subjects as independent in an objective framework. But if we get rid of that and just try to sort of concentrate on seeing our experience, just our experience, well, the Yogacara is saying, we will come to a way of experiencing which will leave that question, put that question out of court. No, I'm not even convincing myself.
I would have expected an answer. The world is in the subject, you see, including everything.
Right.
Something like that.
Right. Yeah. Well, again, part of the problem is that when we talk in terms of everything being mind only, we sort of think of it as all being my mind. But the mind that it is isn't my mind, if you like. So it's not precisely being folded into one subject, me. It's not solipsism. in some ways, I know that what I've said isn't entirely satisfactory, and this is the difficulty that I got into last time as well. But I think it's probably okay to leave it a little bit vague, and as the exposition goes on, the answer at least gets, the question gets more clear. But the main point is that you can't really, having said there is only experience, you can't then take common sense notions of subject and object and ask questions in their terms. Do you see what I mean? In having said that subject and object, as in our common sense understanding of them, do not exist in our common sense understanding of them, you can't then ask questions from that point of view. You've got to try to come down to understanding the mode of consciousness of that particular view and try to see the answer from that perspective. Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. And again, what this system is trying to do is to say that, well, something will appear out there. Something will appear in here. It's not saying that actually it's not there. It's just saying that it has only a relative a dependently arising reality.
Point of clarification, I think. I might have missed something, I don't know. But the in the re-establishment of the six senses, despite going back to the return to Arnia, you spoke about the ethical and the cognitive aspects of discrimination.
Yeah.
And then you put up the two there, karma and the two kinds of grasping.
Right.
Two kinds of grasping is the cognitive
discrimination. Yeah.
Could you say a little bit more on that? I couldn't quite link the two when you said one in...
Which two?
Well, the cognitive aspect of discrimination, that coming out of the senses, re-establishing the one's position or one's view.
Yeah.
And then you put up two kinds of grasping.
The twofold grasping is the cognitive... A misinterpretation arising. Well, that's we are interpreting things now in terms of a really existent subject and object. We act on that basis, and that sets up for us the next consciousness moment within which that is a strong predetermining influence.
Yeah, is there two kinds of grasping at a subject and an object?
Yes. Yeah. So the twofold grasping is that the grasping onto a grasper and the grasping onto a grasped.